We're contrasting that with creating hundreds, if not thousands, of jobs every time you drill new wells, whether we're talking about the conventional or unconventional industries. We're talking about billions of dollars in economic activity that comes from this industry for Pennsylvanians. Mm-hmm. We're talking about creating jobs for Pennsylvanians, using Pennsylvania utilities to help Pennsylvania families call Pennsylvania home.
Hi, and welcome back to this edition of Talking with Doyle. We're here as a follow-up to last week's podcast with State Representative David Rowe, who serves as the chairman of the Policy Committee for the Republican Caucus here in Harrisburg. And last week, we identified a lot of the issues that we're seeing with high energy costs. And here we want to talk about some of the proposals that our caucus has to lower some of those costs.
Well, thank you very much for having me, Chairman Heffley. It's great to be back here. Great to talk about energy. You know, that's one of those things that I hear from my constituents all the time. Utility bills just cost too much. And why has it gone up year over year over year? And we talked a little bit about it last time that we just haven't built new generation since 2019. And when you increase demand, but you don't increase supply, prices are going to go up.
I find it ironic in my district, you have an organization, Penn Futures, right? And they're very active in the state of Pennsylvania. It's kind of like it's a Sierra Club, right, here in Pennsylvania. And it's funny because they're always alternative energy. Now that prices are spiking, now they're blaming everybody else for their bad policies that they pushed. And yet now they want to put up solar farms in my district where they want to clear cut hundreds of acres of pristine forest in the Poconos to put solar panels up. And now they're like, oh, we oppose that. Well, I think it's kind of funny, like you have to have something. And I'm certainly not for clear-cutting forests. I'm for, you know, the lowest impact to the environment to produce the max amount of energy. And I think that's what our caucus has been really pushing, our ideas and how do we generate clean energy, as clean as possible, with the least impact in the environment, and really but producing baseload energy that's going to go right into the grid and bring down. The only way we bring down these utility costs is by producing more electricity or by tax cuts, which we're going to talk about as well.
Yeah, and that's a great segue, right? Because we talked about how, you know, the private sector side, right, we need more supply. More supply comes from reliable baseload energy. And when we say reliable, we mean energy that's there rain or shine or winter or what have you. It's a cloudy day. So when you have solar panels, great. If you want to put them on your house, that's awesome. But hey, when it's cloudy, when it's raining, you're not getting anything from them. But a natural gas plant, a coal plant, those are able to spin up to create power 24/7 if we need it. If the wind's not blowing, windmills aren't turning. So this rapid push towards what they call renewable energy sources, which they're not renewable, right? Because wind turbines, they're not recyclable. Those things take thousands of gallons of oil to manufacture and operate. They kill 700,000 birds a year. Yeah. These solar panels are not recyclable. They end up in landfills. So they're not truly renewable energy sources.
So with that, you know, really looking at how do we decrease the cost. And I think one of the things that Pennsylvania is very rich in natural gas. Right now, about 60% of our portfolio for energy production in Pennsylvania is in natural gas. And you know, natural gas emits less carbon and also uses less water than a lot of other sources to produce that. And I think that's really trying. When you look at the SRBC and the DRBC, they should be more and more supportive of that type of development because they're pulling less water out of the watershed to produce that energy.
Mm-hmm. And that's a Pennsylvania resource,
yes.
Right? So when we're talking about not just lowering prices, we're also talking about creating jobs, creating economic growth. So if we're importing solar panels from China because China owns 85% of the solar panel market, or we're contrasting that with creating hundreds, if not thousands of jobs every time you drill new wells, whether we're talking about the conventional or unconventional industries, we're talking about billions of dollars in economic activity that comes from this industry for Pennsylvanians. Mm-hmm. We're talking about creating jobs for Pennsylvanians, using Pennsylvania utilities to help Pennsylvania families call Pennsylvania home. It's not a secret that Pennsylvania's been hemorrhaging population, right? We've lost a congressional seat every census for the last 100 years, sometimes more than one. We see people. I was talking to a person just yesterday. He's got four daughters. Two of them are in North Carolina. The third one is moving to North Carolina, and the fourth one's still working at home. So the problem is 25% of his family decided to stay in Pennsylvania. 75% left because they can't find jobs here because the cost of living is simply too high. So if we want to stop bleeding population, we have to do things like embrace our legacy industries like the energy, like natural gas, like oil, like coal, to create jobs here, but then also drive down the cost of of living, drive down the cost of utilities to make Pennsylvania an easier place to call home.
And that's one of the things that, we've been working on is some regulatory reform so that we can get these plants up and operating, because we need that. We need that extra power right now. It's the only way we're going to bring down that money. Pennsylvania exports, what, 89 million megawatts per hour, an hour per year? It's just insane. So we do export to our neighboring states, as we talked about in there. But we could be producing more. We produce more, and we use that natural gas. And it's not about, like, expediting the permitting process isn't about cutting corners. But it's about making sure that you can get these permits turned in timely so we can have all the environmental protections in. But instead of, like, these endless reviews and back and forth, we know what the regulations are. We know how to build it, and let's get this done and get it up, because we need to expedite these plants coming online, because we need the power now. As we talked about in the last episode as well, everybody's using more electricity, so we need to get more to the market. Those are Pennsylvania jobs, Pennsylvania taxes, and it's reducing the cost of living for every senior citizen and every working class family in this state.
This week, we're actually going to be rolling out a package of bills that addresses a lot of that. And one of those, what you just touched on, is the permitting, the red tape. I'm rolling out a bill that will basically say that DEP, which is the state-level environmental protection entity, cannot have more restrictive regulations than the federal EPA. Because for a lot of these generators, they just are looking for consistency, right? And so if they can go to West Virginia or Ohio and meet the same state and federal rules, they're just going to do that rather than come to Pennsylvania, meet all the federal rules, then meet all of the far more restrictive state rules that just makes it impossible for them to actually start up here. As you said, it takes years in Pennsylvania to stand something up. There's a reason they're just going to Ohio and West Virginia. Mm. And the scary thing is, you talked about how much energy we export. Those states that we're exporting to are New Jersey, Maryland, Virginia, where they are importing 30 to 40% of their power. 30 to 40% of their state power comes from us. And the scary thing is, a lot of those very radical policies they've adopted that have forced them to shut down in Maryland 4,000 megawatts of generation alone, those same policies are being pushed here in Pennsylvania. Yes. We're seeing those proposals come out, whether it's the governor's lightning plan or efforts to re-enter us into RGGI. Those types of things will kill our power generation industry. And then if we can't export power to those states, guess what? Their lights aren't going to turn on anymore.
And it's ironic that they're kind of the Democratic caucus is really doubling down on bad policies that didn't work in other states, right? RGGI, for example, did not. If you want to drive up the cost for everybody's utility bill, if you like what you're paying now and want to pay another 40 or 60% on top of it, if you just don't want to be able to heat your home by electric heat, or then those policies are going to be great, because that's exactly what's happening in those states.
You should never, in a state like Pennsylvania, right, we have the second largest natural gas reserve in the country, second only to Texas, right? They call us the Saudi Arabia of America, because we have enough power to power the entire country if we needed to. We just can't pull it out of the ground and generate it. And what's heartbreaking is when you have a state like Pennsylvania, we have a very large senior population. You know, no senior citizen living in Pennsylvania during the middle of winter should have to make the choice between being able to afford to heat their home to where it's comfortable and also able to afford groceries and medication and their property taxes. People shouldn't have to be making those decisions. We should have so much generation that it's an afterthought for people. And one of the things that we did, and you referenced it a little earlier, was we did pass legislation that eliminated the gross receipts tax.
Yes.
And what that is, and it's important for people to know, that's not a tax on the utility companies. That's not a tax on the generators. That's a tax on the user, on the ratepayer.
Yeah, it's something that you pay when you get your utility bill. You can look at it. There's a gross receipts tax on there that you pay. That's a tax that the state charges you to get your electricity.
Yep. And so that's why this tax cut matters, right? Because it's not a tax cut on, you know, some entity that you hope the savings trickle down. It's a tax cut on you.
Yep.
That 6%, you will not have to pay anymore. You get to keep that. Your utility bills will drop by 6%. And when people are paying $200, $300, $400, $500 in utility bills, that adds up month over month.
Yep.
That's money you can keep in your pocket. In total, it's $1.7 billion across the Commonwealth. And you and I know that if you want to grow the economy, you let people keep more of their money. So if we're talking about one of the largest tax cuts in the history of the Commonwealth, which we as the House passed, the Senate amended the bill and sent it back, all we need is for the House Democrats to call that bill up, concur on it, and every Pennsylvanian will see the utility bills go down.
Let's do something that really drives down the cost of affordability for every single Pennsylvania resident, when at the same time, that's a $1.7 billion stimulus for the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, because those dollars are going to come right back into the Commonwealth.
And I think you contrast that type of plan with Shapiro's lightning plan, right, where he says just what you said earlier, we're going to tax, you know, energy like crazy, and part of his plan is, and we'll also give you a rebate, right? So yeah. I'm going to take a bunch of your money and give you a little bit of it back and call that a win.
Yeah.
You're still going to end up paying more for your energy across the board. Our plan is just let you keep more of your money in the first place.
There's a lot of proposals, and you see the contrast between the Democratic caucus and a Republican caucus. At the end of the day, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican or an independent, whether you vote or even you don't vote, your utility costs are what's really driving a lot of this affordability and inflation in our Commonwealth. Mm-hmm. So passing that gross receipts tax relief, elimination, would be a tremendous benefit to every resident of this Commonwealth.
You look at the governor's budget proposal that spends billions of dollars more than what we're taking in, and you're right, there's no concern. There's no pearl clutching about how we're going to pay for the governor's overspend. But when we're talking about giving people their money back or just letting them keep it, suddenly the sky is falling.
And that's really the difference between the policies and what why we're committed as a caucus, why I'm committed as a state representative for the district that I represent, to make sure we're representing common sense ideas to lower the cost, but also reflective of the values of the working class people. I mean, we talk about America 250, and that's coming up. So we are here in budget week and recording this video, and we'll probably have some updates towards the end of the week as well. It's going to be a interesting week. But people talk about liberty, and people talk about freedom, and we look back to our founding fathers, and they set up a nation where people could live as they choose, in the house that they did want to live in, and own property, and have those rights to be a free society and governed in a republic, and we should be celebrating that. We shouldn't be looking at this time when we're celebrating America 250 to raise taxes or restrict how people, because if you look at one of the biggest things that people need to be free is energy, right? You want to be able to turn your lights on. You want to be able to drive somewhere if you need to drive there. And we need to keep those costs down so that people can experience and enjoy the liberties that our founding fathers intended us to have.